Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
If you're ready for the word, ready for the word. As I was sitting in North Carolina in some of these events and listening to Christians, people that love the Lord, that are billionaires and that are multimillionaires, and listening to them talk, I realized that the church needs to remind. They need to have a new mind. We've been given the mind of Christ. And there were even things in myself I was saying during this whole thing, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart and see if there is any belief system in me that's still there that is hindering what you want to do in and through my life. And one of the things he took me to was this prayer of Jabez. How many of you have heard of the prayer of Jabez? I put it on my Twitter this morning, but I'm going to read it to you. Oh, by the way, I've entitled the message this morning, Remind Yourself. Remind yourself. God isn't going to come in and make you believe anything. We are responsible for the renewal of our mind. And this guy, Jabez, in 1 Chronicles 4:10, and I didn't give you guys a scripture, so just hang with me. It says, Jabez prayed to the God of Israel. That's our God. You can put your name there. Verna prayed to her dad. The God of Israel. Here's what he asked. Bless me. How many of you would love it if your children just walk up to you and say, bless me. He didn't stop with one. Oh, bless me. We get all bashful, right? With the Lord. I want us to become those who walk up to the Lord and say, bless me. Oh, bless me. He goes on, and then he asked what he wanted. He said, give me land, large tracts of land, and provide your personal protection. Don't let evil hurt me. That's a good prayer. I'm going to pray it over us. Daddy, bless us. Oh, bless us. Give us land, large tracts of land. And provide your personal protection. Don't let evil hurt me. And as I was sitting there listening to these land developers, and it was more than just land developers, there were franchisers there. There were people there that teach all kinds of different ways, different buckets in which you can multiply money. You know, I just loved being there because poor people think about money all the time. Rich people spend money all the time. And wealthy people multiply money all the time. Did you hear what I said? And these people aren't just rich, they're wealthy. Because their whole thought process is multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. And they're saying the same things. You've got large corporations, you have foreign countries buying the dirt in the United States of America. Right out from under us. You know why? Because they want to develop it in multifamily complexes and put renters in there and take the money from Americans. They don't want you to own land anymore. And I believe that the Lord wants us to have the land. This message is not going to go all the way in that direction, but we need to remind ourselves this idea that we've got to live as debtors our whole life and have other people making money off of us. I think we should shift that and say, it's okay for me to make money on people that have a mindset of just renting. Maybe that's all they can do, but I'm going to own the land. There's going to be a return on my investment. If God gives me $100,000, I'm not going to come to him on the judgment day and say I buried it because I was afraid. Amen? We've got to think different. We've got to remind ourselves. And Pastor Simone preached an amazing message last night. We want to continue to focus on Jesus, and he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the husband of the bride. He's the wealthy one, and he wants us in this hour to steward the wealth. I really believe that we need to do more than just believe that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, because that's the word of God. But we got to do more than believe it. Just believing it isn't going to make anything happen, because faith without works is dead. There comes a point where we need to be disciplined. We need to have a return on our disciplines, on the way we spend money, on the way we think. We need to have returns on our time. We can't just sit around stuck listening to economic forecasts right now that are depressing and not actually be doing things that the Lord is giving us to do, because he has heavenly strategies for people that are listening and have a belief system that I can steward greater levels of wealth. I can own land. I can. The kingdom of God, the family of God, does not have to be hawked to the hill with our hand out, begging for places to worship. Everyone still here? So I believe that we need to have that prayer of Jabez as a template for ourselves. But here's the thing. God gave Jabez what he asked for. And the Lord says, I don't want you to just ask big and believe big. There are some moves that you're about to start making. You're going to start making moves. And as I was on the last day of the conference, I had a dream, and then I was on a ship. Ships represent ministries. And every time I have a dream, a prophetic dream, I know the Lord is speaking to me. That's one of the ways he speaks to me, is through dreams. But I'm on this ship. There were a lot of people on the ship. And all of a sudden, someone came in with a bad report. And they said, you're sinking. This thing is sinking. And I got so angry. And I looked at this person and I said, we're not going to sink. We're not going to sink. And I kept saying it to them, we're not going to sink. And they were laughing at me in the dream. And so I threw them overboard. You can clap for that. Yeah. I seriously just put them in a headlock and drug them to the side and threw them overboard. Because that kind of report starts to sour and scare everyone else. Because there were people listening and they were scouring around like, oh, they were looking for holes in it. They were looking for where the hole was. And I was just like, I was so angry. I just like grabbed them and like, and just flipped them over the side and threw them in the ocean. And I'm like, you're going to sink, not us. So, I woke up and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to prophesy this over this house, over myself, over all of my family. And I want to say this to you today. You're not going to sink. It's time to throw that stuff overboard. It's time to get rid of those limiting thoughts. It's time to get rid of those voices. Because the Lord spoke to me recently, especially toward the end of the Understanding the End Times series. And he said the church's best days are right now. They're right now and they're on the horizon. They're not behind us. But he said, you must prepare now. You must prepare now. If you can't manage $100, you will not be able to manage a million. Now, I know Sean, you can go talk to Sean. He's really versed in what's going on with the banking system and all of that right now. And there's a shift happening where we're going to a digital dollar. We're going to see digital money start to make its emergence. Why? Because the Bible says that in the last days, we're going to go to a cashless society. Currency and the way we do business is going to change. And many of the banks used to be backed by gold. But we're going to a point now where even that won't be backed by gold. But gold still has value. And so when we hear this scripture, and I'm going to give you a prophetic word and we're going to go on down through this. When we hear this scripture, we need to take note. Because God is saying at the end of the age, there's going to be a shaking. This doesn't just mean earthquakes. It means economic systems. And in Haggai, he is talking about money. He is talking about resources. Now, just before we begin this, I want you to just tuck this away. The Bible says that after everything has been wrapped up and done, there is going to be three things that remain. Does anybody know what they are? Faith, hope, and love. So if you're holding on to something that's going to still be solid after everything shakes, what do you need? You need three things. Faith, hope, and love. That's why I started with inviting you to receive Jesus Christ, because you have to have faith to be able to operate in this hour. Haggai 2, 6 through 9 says this, "For thus says the Lord of hosts," is God speaking. He says, "Once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land." So there will be this shaking of the earth. We know that there will be an increase in earthquakes and all of that in diverse places. But then watch what he says. "I will shake the nations. I will shake the nations. And they will come with the desirable and precious things of all nations. And I will fill this house with my glory and splendor," with glory and splendor, says the Lord of hosts. Let's just stop for a minute and think about that. Simultaneously, while all this is going on, God's house is going to be filled with glory and precious things. Can we say this again? Can we just stop and think? People are like, "Oh, things are getting bad out there." We ought to be saying, "Yeah, but they're going to about to get really good in here." Yeah. Things are getting really bad out there. Come on, let's say it together. "Yeah, but they're getting really good in here." Yeah. See, it's good to be in the house of God. It's good to be in the family of God. It's good to be in Him. We can either focus on the shaking and all that stuff that's going on out there, or we can focus on Him and His glory and who's in the house. His presence is here. He's the Almighty God. The earth is His and the fullness thereof. He has money that we know not of. He has gold buried in the earth that has never been discovered. He has stuff that's been laid up for us for this hour, but we must prepare. And then he goes on in verse 8 and he says, just to assure you, "The silver is mine." See that capital M? That means deity is speaking. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. I like how he says the Lord of hosts. Do you know that we have hosts of angels at our disposal? And you know how they go get stuff done? They go forth at the word of the Lord. They don't go forth at the word of the devil. They don't go forth at the word of the doom and gloom naysayers. They don't go forth at the word of the spirit of fear. They're waiting for assignments, and they go forth at the word of the Lord. That's why we need to get in divine alignment and say, "God, what are you saying?" It's so important to be able to hear God in this hour. You want to hear God, open your Bible. He is the word. We're married to the word. Open your Bible, and the word will speak. We don't have to sit around and wait for a goosebump and some big revelation to fall out of heaven. We have Google. I mean, literally live in a generation we can know anything right now. I mean, we've got Bible apps and, you know, 30 or 40 different versions, and we can just Google, what does God say about prosperity? What does God say about health? What does God say? You know, we need to know the promises of God. And when the lies come at us, we need to pull them up. I say, get your stockpile. I mean, we need to be armed and dangerous. We need to be packing in this hour. because the enemy is bringing an onslaught against our mind. And if you don't open your mouth, we live in a voice-activated system or kingdom. If you don't open your mouth and start saying what God says, it'll be very easy for you to listen to what the devil says and start letting all that stuff get planted in your heart. The Lord of hosts is speaking here, and he says, the latter glory. I don't know about you. I am aging, but I'm not old. I'm not just going to die old. I'm going to die empty. And I'm going to terrorize the graveyard because I'm not going to go over there with my dreams unrealized. Because God says it's a latter glory. You see people, oh, they're living in the glory days. As if the glory days are back there. Those days had glory, but they're not the latter glory. Our God is not the God of decrease. He's the God of increase. Everything he does goes from glory to glory to glory to glory. From strength to strength to strength to strength. He's the ultimate businessman. He knows how to scale his kingdom. Oh, Lord Jesus. The glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give the ultimate peace and prosperity. That's the package. You know how many people have prosperity but no peace? Their peace is tied to that money indicator. Oh, I have peace if crypto's doing good. Or I have peace if my real estate investments are doing good. I have peace over here. Listen, doesn't matter how volatile things get. And you should be wise in the way you invest. You should be wise in the way you steward the wealth that God is bringing into your life. But here's the thing. When you're with him, he's not freaking out in volatility. He gives you peace and prosperity. But notice where it is. It's in this house. Where? It's in this house. God didn't invest in buildings. He wants us to have land and he wants to have a place to meet, places where we're safe, where we have shelter and all of that. But he didn't die for those things. If this whole thing fell down today, and I'm talking about this building, we're still the house. And in this house, there's going to be greater glory than anything we've ever seen before. And I believe it. And it's so because my husband said so. And he's not a man that he should lie. And whatever he says, it comes to pass. And he's saying, keep a firm grip on my promises because I always keep my word. Always. Keep a firm grip on my promises. And don't be like those who do not come together and meet together. They forsake the assembling of themselves together. The house, the tabernacle, the sanctuary. Yes, you're the sanctuary out there, but there's a corporate anointing and there's a glory that comes together when we come to the house. Don't neglect it as you see the day approaching. Find ways to encourage one another, but hold on to the promises because I have things that I've promised that are specific to this hour. They were not specific to that hour back there. They're specific to this hour. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but the best days of soul harvest are not behind us. The best days are right now and in front of us. God gave me this prophetic word, and he says, I'm going to amaze you with my goodness. I think you brought some of this in recently. He said, your past glory days will pale compared to your present and future. I'm not decreasing favor, but superseding anything you've seen. I'm the God of increase, not decrease. What I did for your grandparents and parents, I'm surpassing in this generation. So today, get your hopes up. Enlarge your vision. Stop focusing on the past. I have present and future surprises that I've been working out behind the scenes for you. Surprise breaks, opportunities, and the right people have been awaiting the transformation I've been doing in you. Although your process has been challenging and painful, your willingness to press into me and trustfully wait has prepared you for all that accompanies this next level of my glory. Your best days are not behind you, but right now and ahead. Receive it and declare it. Somebody say, I receive it. And I declare that that is mine. So first thing we need to do is remind ourselves that God promises to work all things together for our good, for my good. You need to, as you read that point one, I want you to think about that. You need to remind yourself. No matter what you're going through, you need to remind yourself. Remind. That I love God, and I'm called according to His purpose. His purpose. This is so important. Your life has a purpose. You get assigned a kingdom purpose when you come into relationship with Him. That's Romans 8:28. Let's read the word, and then I have some thoughts on that. And we know with great confidence. There's people that know the word, but they don't have great confidence. How many of you know somebody, I know that, but they're like shaking in their shoes? There's no confidence. We know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan. So He always has a plan for good for those who love Him. Many people want to quote the scripture, but they don't love God. Nor have they answered the call. This is for people that love God and are called according to His plan and purpose. Dr. Miles Monroe is one of my favorite leadership teachers who is now in heaven. I often read his quotes. He said, "Your purpose is greater than your failures and mistakes." Many times we discount our calling and our purpose because we made some mistakes. But he said, "Nothing truly changes until your mind changes." That's why we come to church. Many times, how many of you have left a church service and you're like, wow, I've heard that a lot. I've heard it a long time. But today, it hit me. Today, it hit me. And it's sometimes just that one little tweak and you go, I'm not believing that no more. That lie that's haunted you, that lie. And one of those whispers that God said to me one time was, never elevate your mistakes above my mercy. Because that's pride. Humility is agreeing with God. It is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. When you're like, oh, I made too many mistakes. God can't use me. God can't bless me. Oh, look what I've done. Da, da, da. That's all about you. That's you thinking about you. You need to think less. Think of yourself less and think of God more. Amen? If He says that when I died on the cross, I took your poverty, I took your failures, I took your sin, I took your mistakes, I took all of that so that you could become the righteousness of God, of my dad, in me, why would He give you righteousness and then be dinging you every time you did something unrighteous? Your soul's all jacked up. Look at somebody around you and like, they're all jacked up. I'm jacked up. See, listen, we're all jacked up. We're in the jacked up club. But the truth is, He knew we couldn't do it without Him. He gave us His perfection, not so that we could go on doing jacked up stuff, but so that we could be transformed and be reminded, get a new mind about things, and start to believe that in spite of my mistakes, I can grow in wisdom. I can grow in the wisdom of God. I can begin to think like God. I can begin to behave like God. It's not going to happen over time, but let me tell you quickly, but will happen over time. You think Jesus walked the earth thinking, I don't have a purpose? You think Jesus is living up inside of you thinking, I'm going to live in this person with no purpose? He has purposed you for a purpose. And Miles said the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but a life without purpose. God has given you purpose. And if you love him and you're called according to his purpose, no matter what you've gone through, whether it's a foreclosure, whether it's a betrayal, these things hurt in our life. There's terrible things that happen to us. But God doesn't want you to lay down and give up and go into hiding and not utilize and self-actualize everything that he put on the inside of you. I believe you guys are in a monumental comeback season. You are. One of my favorite preachers says every setback is a setup for a comeback. As I awoke from this dream where I threw this liar overboard, I was remembering, Betsy, I was with you, and we were over in Monterey, and John, you were doing some houses over there, Pebble Beach. And the tide had come in, and it was really beautiful. It was really high. It was all foaming up, and I heard the Lord say, the tide is turning in your favor. And I remembered that, and I started to prophesy that. And it's interesting, 2 days ago, some of you might follow this man. His name is Nate Johnson, but he put on one of his social media posts, the devil couldn't take you out, so he's trying to wear you out. Don't you dare get tired. Hold on, because the tide is turning. Amen? So here I am in North Carolina getting this word. I'm going to come home and I'm going to minister to all of you, and the Lord is saying, you got to remind. So in other words, you can't think the same way you did yesterday and step into what I'm telling you. Something's got to change. Whatever that is for you, God will show you. Ask him, what is the limiting thought that I have been believing? And what is the truth you want me to know? Here's what the tide is turning means. It's a reversal in a situation. It's a new and opposite flow. It means to assist in getting over or moving forward. It means to carry forward with new momentum. It means to surmount a difficulty, obstacle, etc. To not only survive, but thrive. Some of you have been so frustrated because there are people that have such a negative mindset, they are trying to literally hinder your momentum. And you have been like, oh, you love them, but you know, I cannot keep walking at the same level and pace with these toxic thoughts. I don't want to call them toxic people because every person has the ability to change their mind, to remind themselves. But where God is taking you, there is going to be a pruning. There is going to be a shift in this season. And some of you may feel very frustrated and very emotional about some of these severe changes that are about to take place. But listen, unless two be agreed, they cannot walk together. And God is going to align you with new people that have a similar mindset. Why? Because when people get together in agreement, in faith, God will start to align other people with that mindset to create synergy and momentum for where he is taking that group together. You cannot walk with everybody and get where God is trying to take you. You can pray for them. They may be on their own path, but God is aligning some eagles in this season who have a different perspective. When you're at ground level warfare, everything is big and ominous and spooky, but when you begin to soar and mount up on wings like eagles, all of a sudden you begin to see this is nothing compared to what God has for us, because you get a new perspective, you get a new mind. Amen. Tell yourself. Come on, we're going to say this together. Tell yourself. Come on, get with you right now. Whatever that looks like. And say this. The tide is turning in my favor. My favor. Now turn to somebody next to you, and if you're not really close, just yell it across the room and say, the tide is turning in your favor. Now let's all say it together. Come on, say it together. The tide is turning in our favor. Come on, say it again. The tide is turning in our favor. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Dr. Miles said, I always judge a man by the way he treats his wife. The woman is the glory of the man. We are married to the bride of Christ. A wife who is the glory of a gracious, wealthy, healthy, well-mannered, well-spoken man. She looks good. She has what she needs. She's not all janky and broken down. Her car runs. And if it don't, he makes sure he gets her one that does. Why? Because he's a man who is invested in her safety. We are living below our glory potential. When you think about who we serve, the King of Glory. The bride is his wife, and she is the glory of her husband. And we judge the man by the way he treats his wife. And it's time for us to believe that God wants to treat us as good as he is. That's a good word. Will you be treated well? The church has for years glorified poverty. What a lie. If the wife is the glory of her husband, then Jesus, who died to eradicate poverty, is saying, we glorify poverty. That's double-minded. That's schizophrenic. That is a contrasting message. That is not biblical. But nothing changes until your mind changes. Have you ever tried to treat someone good and they won't be treated well? Come on, nod at me. Oh, no, I couldn't. Oh, no, it's too much or whatever. Listen, it irks me. Because you want to be good to them, but they won't let you be good to them. You better be good to me. Come on. We need to let the Lord be good to us. And he wants to reveal his goodness in an hour where the world is revealing its badness. We're not sons and daughters of the world. I don't have time to finish all this. Maybe I'll make it a part two, but we're in the world, but we're not of it. We're not of it. So we must remind ourselves that we have hope. We have it. Hope does not leave us because bad things are happening. We can say it's hopeless. We can get in agreement, like, you're going to sink. It's time to throw some of that stuff overboard. We serve the God of hope. He's the anchor of hope. Amen? But Jesus was praying, and as I bring this down to a close, Jesus was praying before the cross for us. And he was praying to the Father about the disciples in the world. He said, but now I'm coming to you, and I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may experience my joy made full and complete and perfect within them, filling their hearts with my delight. I have given to them your word, the message you gave to me, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world and do not belong to the world. If Jesus is saying that, we need to believe that. Amen? I am not of the world. And I do not belong to the world. I don't belong to the World Bank. I don't belong to all of these world economists. I don't belong to them. Jesus is praying and he's saying, just as I am not of the world and do not belong to it, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Clean them up. Set them apart. What? Set them apart for your purposes. For your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. Just as you commissioned and sent me into the world, I also have commissioned and sent them, believers, into the world. For too long, the church has been like, oh, that's worldly. Oh, that's worldly. We separate from the world. We don't go anywhere where there's worldly, 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 worldly stuff. I grew up in that. Going to the movies was worldly. Going to a baseball game was worldly. Everything was worldly. And we all just, you know, hung around in our little hole and ran around and made burnt tire tracks in the church, jumping and yelling like Baal worshipers. And everybody was broke. And everybody was on welfare. And everybody had to have a handout. And everybody was afraid of the world. Let me tell you something. God is raising up entrepreneurs who are going to go out there in the world. And they're going to take these seven mountains of culture. And they're not going to be broke. And they're not going to have their handout. And God is raising up Josephs in this hour in an Egyptian system to go all the way up into governing positions who are in charge of distribution. He's raising up Marys who are willing to pour out expensive perfume. I read a powerful word on Elijah yesterday. You know, Jesus came through a Joseph and a Mary, and he's going to finish with Josephs and Marys who are going to get all of the wealth into the kingdom, get the souls into the kingdom, be able to do what he's called us to do without saying, oh, I can't go to that nation and preach because we don't have airfare. We don't have money for that. We can't fund our missions. I believe there is about to be an overthrow. There is about to be a reversal. A new flow that's going to come in and through the body of Christ. And we've heard it, and we've heard it, and we've heard it, and we've looked at our circumstances and said, it must not be true because I'm here. Let me tell you something. You can't get from there to there without reminding yourself that God said there's glory for this hour, for this house, that is going to surpass anything that you have ever seen before. And this can't just be a message that you hear and say, man, that was good, and go home. I want you to keep saying it and keep saying it, saying the tide is turning in my favor. The tide is turning in our favor. He wants us to be one with him, if you want to read the rest of that. But I'm going to end on this scripture today. It's time for us to stop being a prisoner of the system and get back. You're going to be a prisoner to two things, one of two things. You're either going to be a prisoner to that system or you're going to be a prisoner of the Lord's. And he said in Zechariah, he says, return. So in other words, there's a chain. When you return, that means that you veered off. You veered away from something. He says, return to the stronghold of security and prosperity. You prisoners of hope. Even today, I'm declaring that I will restore double your former prosperity to you. Woo! Come on, stand up to your feet. Stand up to your feet. I have so much more, but I'll get to it later. We need to know Jesus. If you know Jesus, we need to know more of his heart, more of his word, more. Not in a religiously disciplinary way, but as a discipline, a personal discipline in our life that will say to every lying spirit, you're going to sink. Every lying spirit, you're going to go broke. Every lying spirit, you won't have enough. Every lying spirit, you're not good enough. Every lying spirit that comes to you, you will stand up in that spirit's face and say, I am throwing you overboard. You don't belong in my house. You don't belong in my ministry. You don't belong in my life. I have an anchor for my soul, and it's called hope. I have a place of security and prosperity, and his name is hope. His name is Jesus, the God of hope. But when all the shaking is done, the gold, the silver, everything, it will all still be here. It's his. I can let it all go. I can go with him wherever he wants to take me. Because when it's all said and done, there are three things that no one can take from me. My faith, my hope, and the love of God. So in the meantime, I'm going to open my heart to do as much as I can with everything that He can trust me with. And this isn't about me going out striving and trying to do something on my own. It says that He is the one working it all together for our good. But if you won't let Him treat you good, He's not going to force it down your throat. You've got to believe that there's a purpose for the things He wants to do with you. Health is the ultimate wealth. He wants us to get healthy. He wants us to get healthy in our mind. He wants us to get healthy in our body. What does it profit us if we gain the whole world and we lose our soul? Our soul is our mind, our will, and emotions. And I believe God is really operating in this realm right now. Not only does He want to save your soul, but He wants your soul to be well. He doesn't want you going out and spinning around. Oh, did you hear this is happening? This bank closed and this is going down and they're going to take our money and they're going to do this. Listen, I don't know how God works that all out, but His word says that He still has a good plan even when the enemy has a bad one. And that His family and His bride is His glory. We are crowned with glory. And there is greater levels of glory for me and for you and for everybody that is His. And I want you to just believe that. When you hear that stuff, it's happening. But we live in a different kingdom. Father, I thank You. I thank You. We can get all hyped up about this, but when we're sitting alone and that liar comes who speaks his native language, which is only lies, it's in that moment that our faith will either rise and speak on our own behalf and on behalf of those who are listening, the hosts of heaven, or we will succumb. I pray that not one person who is listening to this message will put up with it for a second longer. That our faith would elevate to another level in this season. It's actually Your faith, Lord. You gave it to us. It don't take much. You said it only takes a mustard seed. But I pray that we would exercise it in this season. And that as we leave this place today, we wouldn't leave with just a word in our head that the enemy can come and snatch. I pray that we would go out of here, Lord, with a solid, pregnant word, a word that's to be birthed, and a great harvest come forth because it went down into our heart and it took root. I bless these loved ones. I bless them with opportunities. I bless them with bonuses. I bless them with rebates. I bless them with debt paid off supernaturally. I bless them with new opportunities. I bless them with open doors. I bless them with divine connections. I bless them with God ideas. I bless them with blueprints from heaven. I bless them with wise strategies. I bless them in Jesus' name to rise up and go out and infect this world with as much of You as they can in this hour in Jesus. In Jesus' name, and to You be all the glory. Amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at Soul Harvest WC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.